What's going on, YouTube? Your boy Mustard is back. Another episode of the pod. We're going to talk about a lot of things that happened on Raw. A couple of news that broke. Some stories progressed. But your boy is back with another episode, and let's just dive right into it. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, do all that fun jazz on YouTube. And on the Apple Podcast, Spotify, leave a nice review. This is going to be something that I'm very consistent with, more on like the podcast side and like those apps. So make sure you do subscribe and stay up to date with content consistently. But let's start off. Let's talk about Raw. Raw yesterday was in my hometown, Houston, and I was actually there. It was a really fun show, at least for me. I thought the last match was clearly the best thing on the show, at least like the last couple of matches. There were some nice segments. I actually got there late because, you know, women just don't get ready on time. I'm going to just leave it at that. But regardless, the show opened up with Drew McIntyre coming out and cutting a promo. Drew has been amazing. Straight up amazing. There is not a single heel on the roster, I think, right now that is as great as Drew has been on the mic. I mean, don't get me wrong, Roman is the top guy, and I guess the top heel by default, but Drew has just been on a tear. He is having a great run. Again, he dissed CM Punk. He got Punk chance, and then he was like, Punk, I'm the only thing keeping you relevant. That was pretty cool. He also said that Seth Rollins is a junkie. He had to get his fix. He accepted The Rock's challenge on Cody's behalf. And, you know, I think he's right, because Seth Rollins is a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. He was telling Drew McIntyre all this time, let this bloodline stuff go. But the moment Rollins could jump on the bloodline bandwagon to get that WrestleMania main event that he's been coveting his whole career, he jumped on it. So he is a hypocrite. So I'm glad Drew McIntyre called him out. But Rollins came out and called Drew McIntyre out for being a hypocrite. I mean, he took help from the bloodline on numerous occasions over the last couple of months. The most recent one being the spike from Solo to then pin Cody, being the second man to beat Cody Rhodes by pinfall since Roman Reigns, right? Because I think Brock Lesnar beat him, but I think it was like a submission, like he passed out. And then Drew McIntyre beat him. So since Cody's come back, he's only been pinned twice. But yeah, Rollins called him out, and then he said he's basically like CM Punk, right? Because they're both hypocrites. Punk was mentioned a couple times in his promo, and Punk is coming back, not next week, but I think the Monday after on the 25th, they're going to be in Chicago. And I wonder if Punk is going to be involved in this match, because, you know, he was supposed to obviously be on the WrestleMania card. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's somehow still involved, whether, I don't know, he's in somebody's corner or maybe he's a special guest referee. And these two mentioned him a lot in this promo. And Drew in particular has mentioned him so many, many, many times. So it's going to be interesting to see how they turn that match around. But Seth eventually got on his knees, pause, and he was like, Drew, hit me. I dare you to hit me. And Drew didn't do it. He didn't take the bait. But when Drew exited the ring, Seth was still trying to bait him. And he said, look, with all the things I got going on, my knee injury, my back, this tag match at WrestleMania with The Rock, Cody, and Roman, you are the worst or the least of my concerns. And he's right, honestly. Drew and Seth, even though this build has been really solid, it almost feels like second fiddle. And that actually does feed into the story, which is why I'm not mad. The whole story is that Seth Rollins is looking past Drew McIntyre, but why shouldn't he? Right? This is a guy that, granted, he didn't have the whole knee thing, but he's had this bad back that they've been building up over time over the last couple of months, right? He's been fighting through it, but he beat Drew McIntyre twice. Twice. So if I'm Seth, I would feel the same way, right? In kayfabe, why would I worry about this guy? Why would I worry? It's not like this is the no DQ match, which I think they could actually do. They could add a stipulation. I think for this final match, because it looks like it has to be the final match between these two, especially if Drew's going to lose, right? Add a stipulation. make it a little more interesting. But he said that he's not concerned with Drew at all. He's the least of his concerns. So Drew, it looked like he was going to confront him, right? Because you could see he was seething and he was about to get in the ring, but he turned away and went to the back. This is a really good opening segment. I like it. Drew's doing the best work of his career, like I said. Seth, I do think it's time for him to drop that title at WrestleMania. But we'll see. We'll see. There's some couple weeks left. We'll see what they do on TV. This is the last we saw of either Seth and Drew. So, yeah. Becky Lynch then came out next with a match against Liv Morgan. Liv and Becky, they've been kind of building this up on TV over the last couple weeks. And I think it's interesting, right? Because when Becky won the chamber, there was like a vocal section of Liv Morgan fans who were so mad about it. They were so angry about it. They were saying, we want Liv, we want Liv. They were trying to get that thing going as if it was going to work. It didn't, but they tried. And it's ironic that I think literally the next week on Raw, Liv comes out and says, not everything's about you, right? And I've been seeing a wave of people that really don't like Becky Lynch. Now, obviously, most people do like her, but there is a wave of people that dislike her. They think she's overpushed. You know, people have been saying this is a down year, but yes, she won the NXT title. You know, she had that match with Trish. People act as if a down year is a bad year for her, when in reality, this year was actually a pretty good year for Becky, or at least 2023 was a pretty good year for Becky Lynch. And people say she took a back seat. Why? Because she wasn't the main champion. She walked into the year, I believe, right as the Raw Women's Champion, or am I tripping? I could be tripping on that. She may not have walked in the Raw Champion because I think Bianca might have. I was wrong about that. But regardless, my point is a lot of people feel like Becky is overpushed. And a lot of them were Liv Morgan fans. They feel like she had a better story. Now, me personally, I want to see Becky and Rhea. Liv Morgan had her chance with Rhea. They've had matches before. We have never seen Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley in a one-on-one program, especially at a magnitude like WrestleMania. That is the real marquee match. That's the biggest match they can do in that division, other than like maybe Bianca and Rhea, right? That's a bigger match. But that's not a match you can really just start building up right now. They're not even on the same show. You know, Becky and Rhea, they've teased it over the last year. They've kept them relatively apart. And now it's time. So Liv Morgan fans, you just got to realize it's just not her time. And Liv Morgan, at the end of the day, she's not the star Becky Lynch is. She's just not. Plain and simple. Becky, she's a top star. And I don't even think she's going to win at WrestleMania, nor really should she. But as far as the match, before they went to commercial, Liv hit like this suicide dive that she usually does. It was a little awkward looking. But she hit this code breaker while Becky was in midair. She also hit a sunset flip power bomb onto the floor. This was a good match. This was a good match. It got some "this is awesome" chants. Lynch even hit like Becky hit like a manhandle slam, but Liv rolled out the ring, which is a typical heel thing. But the crowd went crazy for it. They cheered, you know. So the crowd was behind Liv in this match. But it ended up going in Becky's favor, hit the manhandle slam again, got the pin, and that was it. Match was over. But Rhea actually, Rhea came out after the match and confronted Becky. But while she was on the ring, or while she was on her way to the ring, Liv interrupted her and was like, "Don't worry, I'm going to take everything I can away from you." And that had me thinking, because a part of me thought Liv was going to win this match. And a part of me still believes she is going to work her way into this match. Of course, right now they're building everything around Becky versus Rhea for the most part. But Liv and Becky, I just find it ironic that literally a week, actually not even a week, I think it was 2 days, right? Because Elimination Chamber was Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's when Liv interrupts Becky and she says, "Not everything's about you." And that's when they see all this, because I assume they check social media, right? They see all these fans of Liv Morgan outraged about it. So I do wonder if she's going to work her way into the match. She has a legitimate beef with Rhea. But regardless, Rhea gets into the ring. She's cutting a promo. She said that you're taking on all these taxing matches because you want an excuse, right? You want an excuse to lose. And Becky said that when people believe in her, she's good. But when people doubt her, she's even great. My thing is here, Becky is liked by the fans. She's loved by the fans. Fans don't hate Becky, right? But if you're putting her head-to-head with Rhea Ripley, she's not going to get cheered. Or at least she's not going to be the baby face of that feud. It's going to be Rhea Ripley. Fans love Rhea. She got a baby face reaction throughout this whole promo. Meanwhile, Becky, you could hear some boos. You could hear some boos because the fans love Rhea. It's not anything against Becky. And it makes me wonder if, like, during this build, if they keep seeing this, especially what the reaction will be at Mania, if it's going to lead to a double turn. Now, we've seen heel Becky Lynch. We've been there, done that. And I actually thought heel Becky Lynch was good, but I just think it was a little poorly timed because she had just come back. Fans didn't want to boo her. But now with this feud, you could actually really pull off a successful double turn, in my opinion. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to the crowd reaction, because fans are not going to boo Rhea Ripley. I think there's a good chance at WrestleMania, Becky has to work the heel of the match because of it. I'm just saying. After the match, we also got a segment with Becky and Liv backstage. They were shaking hands. Everything was all cool. Then Nia Jax pulls up and just blasts both of them. She throws Liv across this board, and then she slams Becky through a table. Later, Becky challenges Nia to a last woman standing match for next week on Raw. And I think this is fine. They actually had a pretty good match on day one Raw where Nia won. And I figured Becky would get her win back at some point. And I think next week's going to be the week that Becky finally puts that Nia Jax story to bed, because throughout their whole careers, Becky has not beaten Nia. Right. Especially since that whole moment where she broke her face, which, you know, launched her into superstardom. Becky has not beaten her. And the last time they had a match, she lost clean to Nia. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But next, we had a match between Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell against Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile. Right. Now, to preface this, there was a viral video of Maxine Dupri getting booed. And Maxine, it was like some house show. I didn't see the match. I didn't see the clips of what the match looked like. But I assume it was shit, right? Because she was getting boos and someone said she sucked. And she looked, you know, bothered by it while she was walking out. And a lot of wrestlers were very mad about this. I think I saw Rhea Ripley and can't remember who else. It might have been Zelina Vega, whoever. But I know Rhea in particular spoke out. She was like, if you guys were starting off a job, you wouldn't be as good as her. You know, things happen, yada, yada. They were defending her, and that's fine. You can defend her. But my issue with this situation is that people are acting like fans don't have the right to boo. Fans booed Roman Reigns for years. Fans booed John Cena for years. You want to know why they booed? Because they didn't like the direction their character was going. They weren't necessarily booing because, well, some of them probably, yeah. But they weren't necessarily booing because they just hate John Cena. They hate Roman Reigns. Because at one point, they liked those guys. But it was the booking. And the same thing applies with Maxine. And she's not even getting booed that often. That was one clip. She got cheered. She got cheered yesterday night. She did the little reverse caterpillar and the fans liked it. So for people to just act as if this is a norm now, they're just turning on her. No, that was one night. And even so, who cares? She got booed because she probably had a pretty bad match. Maxine is not good. Plain and simple, she isn't a good wrestler. And I'll get to what we saw yesterday night, because I actually thought she was decent in the ring in the spot she did, even though limited spots for a reason. But she isn't very good. They have a performance center. They have NXT. They can literally have her go to NXT, just the same thing they did with Dominic. Sure, as to her schedule, maybe she doesn't want to. But if she doesn't want to, then stop putting her in the ring for long matches. Hell, she shouldn't even be having matches for real. She's cool with the whole Alpha Academy thing when she can do a spot here and there, a suplex here and there, right? And the crowd can go crazy. She can do the thank you shit. All that stuff is cool. But she is not a good wrestler. It's just plain and simple. She had like 3 spots in the Rumble this year, and she botched like all of them. She can't sell. She can't do moves smooth whatsoever. She's a valet, and that's what she started off as. But if she wants to be a wrestler, or if they want her to be a wrestler and do some more in-ring shit, then put her in the performance center. You have it for a reason. But as far as this match goes, the match didn't even go long. I think it went like, what, 3-4 minutes at most. Let's just skip to what really happened. Candice LeRae, she got up in Maxine's face after Maxine did a couple spots. She was going to do the caterpillar. Candice LeRae got in her face. And it's crazy because I was actually at the show, right? Like I said, it was in my hometown. I was there. I couldn't hear anything that was going on. So I had to go back after the show was over and rewatch the segment to hear what she said. Candice LeRae said the most, I don't want to say cringe, because I think that it was fine until she said a certain line that you guys already know, but she was basically like, oh, why are you doing this silly move? Nobody likes you. That's why they boo you. You should hear what they say, you know, behind the scenes. And Maxine was trying to like, you know, play it all. Her acting, the acting here was just horrible, especially on Maxine's end. She could not really sell this like it hurt her for real. It looked like she was acting. It just looked bad, right? And the crowd is not knowing what the fuck. I think this segment would have worked better if they did it backstage so the crowd could have heard. Then you could have got more of a live reaction to it. But it was just quiet. It was just quiet. We didn't know what the fuck they were saying, right? But after Candice said all that stuff, she then pulled the dead brother line about Maxine. Because for those who don't know, a couple years ago, Maxine Dupri's brother passed away. And Candice LeRae said her brother would be ashamed of her. I don't even know what that was about. I don't know why they felt the need to bring up her actual dead brother. This added no heat to anything. Like I said, we couldn't hear anything they were saying. Right? So that is what it is. And it's not even like fans care about Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. They get little reaction. Maxine is the real one who's over in the ring. And then you got Candice saying that they boo her. No one really boos Maxine. I don't know why they're trying to take this approach as if Maxine just gets booed in every city. She got booed in one clip that I've seen. Now, maybe you guys can inform me. Maybe this is happening in a lot of house shows, right? Maybe this is happening at a lot of house shows where they're just booing the fuck out of this woman. But from what I've heard, show to show on Raw, especially yesterday night, nobody was booing Maxine, man. Nobody was booing her. But then she tried to leave. Indy gave her a big boot and then pinned her. Whatever. This was so forced. Next, we had Cody Rhodes cutting a promo. The Cody Rhodes promo with Michael Cole. This was good. This was a really good promo. This is my first time seeing Cody Rhodes live. I was really happy to see Cody come out. The pyro, all of this. This is actually my first WWE show, just to sidetrack a little bit. This is my first show. Pyro sounds insanely louder when you're there versus on TV, which I knew, but man, you never really know till you're there and you hear it for real. And I wasn't even like ringside, of course. I wasn't too high up, but, you know, I wasn't ringside. So I could only imagine how much louder it would have been if I was. But regardless, this was a good promo. Cody was saying a lot of things here. Michael Cole, you know, talked to Cody, and Cody brought up the video or the promo that Cole cut on him a couple months ago, where Cole was like, look, like, you're the tag champions. That's cool. But what about the story? What about the story? Aren't you still trying to finish your story? Are you just going to be like your father? Which, I want to say something here. I just kind of hate how in this whole Cody Rhodes finishing his story, they just kind of make it seem like Dusty Rhodes didn't do anything. Like, I get it. The title was taken from him, but he won multiple world titles in the NWA. Like, he was a great wrestler in WWE. Like, I don't know why they do this. He's known as one of the greatest promo cutters of all time. Influential in and outside the ring, right? Because he worked with a lot of these NXT talents back in the day. I just kind of hate how they've reduced his legacy for the sake of this story, of course, to him just being the guy who got the title taken away from him, as if he didn't do anything else. But regardless, Cody, you know, was asked by Michael Cole, why can you even trust Seth Rollins? This guy was the last one to technically beat Roman Reigns, albeit by disqualification, and he didn't get the title. So what makes you think he doesn't want to beat Roman Reigns? And you guys already have history. And Cody reminded Michael Cole of his heel run, where Cole was, you know, in that little box every week. I don't even remember what the fuck that was about. Just that was a terrible run for Michael Cole, man. Gosh, he was so annoying. Go away heat he had. Go away heat. But Cody said, you changed. He teamed with Jey Uso and won the tag titles with him. Hell, he smashed the throne in AEW, and now him and Triple H are one of his closest employers or co-workers, whatever the fuck he meant. So he was basically saying people can change, and he's always respected Seth Rollins, and he feels like Seth respects him. But then Cody pulled off the, you know, the tearjerkers, and he brought up his mother, saying that his mother is all he has left. You know, his dad is gone. His brother's not in WWE. And he also brought up Brandy. We got a Brandy reference here. But Cody got emotional, like he tends to do in a lot of his promos, which, you know, adds some more, you know, some more oomph to it. And he said that at WrestleMania, he's going to finish the story and become the WWE Undisputed Universal Champion. This was a good promo. I liked it. Usually they kind of do these back stage, so it was cool to see them do it, you know, in the ring. That was cool. I liked it. Solid promo. Next, we had the Kabuki Warriors against Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. This match, you know, it was a match. It was a match. Yeah. It was a match. I don't really know what to say. They had like a false finish that the crowd kind of bought into for a little bit, but nobody believed they were going to win the match. There was no real story or heat behind this feud at all, or this match, I should say. It wasn't even a feud. Literally, Zoe Stark and Shayna, they've been picking up wins. The Kabuki Warriors confronted them last week, and now they had a match this week. Nothing. Nothing at all. I'm interested to see what they do with the Kabuki Warriors at WrestleMania. It looks like they kind of teased something with Jade last week, but, you know, who knows, really. Regardless, though, they had a near fall, skip to the end. The Kabuki Warriors won. They did the diving elbow with Kyrie. By the way, Kyrie, that diving elbow finish with her and Asuka, great finish. Great finish. Dakota Kai got involved. Io got involved. Yada, yada. The match was a match. It was decent. You know, whatever. Next match, we had Damian Priest and R-Truth. Actually, rewinding, the Judgment Day, it was announced that there's going to be a six-pack ladder match at WrestleMania 40, right? Adam Pearce and Nick Altman, I guess they came together and decided this. They announced it. There's going to be a couple of qualifying matches. But the Judgment Day confronted him and were like, dude, what the hell? You didn't even talk to us about it. Where'd you get this idea from? And then, I kid you not, they said Miz and R-Truth pitched it. I don't know when the fuck Miz and R-Truth got that kind of clout, That's just ridiculous. I don't even know. That was kind of stupid. They said they weren't even going to be there that night, that they're going to do media. But then R-Truth pulls up because he forgot it was Monday. Man. And when he popped up on the screen, the fans went crazy. You know, us in Houston, we loved R-Truth. I loved him too. I loved him too, especially during the match, which we'll get to in a second. That led to Damian Priest challenging R-Truth in a match, which we got right here. Damian Priest and R-Truth, he came out the gate, Damian Priest, and attacked R-Truth before the bell even rang. But while he was attacking him, the ref still rang the bell. Like, that's so fucked up. That's so fucked up. Didn't even let R-Truth recuperate nothing. That was hilarious. He even had a couple of nice spots where the fans just went crazy for him. We'll get to that in a second. I think people are calling them Regeneration X. But yeah, DIY came out. The Judgment Day got involved as well to attack DIY on ringside. They had a little brawl that Truth got involved and jumped outside. But before all that, or in the middle of all that, R-Truth actually did a John Cena comeback. He did the shoulder tackles. He did the back body drop. And then he also did the five knuckle shuffle. We were going crazy. We were going crazy in that crowd, especially when he hit the AA. He actually hit the AA. I was so shocked. I was like, man, he might actually pull this off. And then after he hit the AA, he hit the STF. And no cap, his STF actually looked a lot better than a lot of John Cena's STFs. And the crowd was going crazy. We really thought for a split second he was going to pull it off, but he did it. Damian Priest hit the South of Heaven chokeslam, and, you know, the match was over. They even attacked them after the match, and, yeah, it was what it was. But this was a good match. I liked it. R-Truth is super over, man. He is over as hell. Over as fuck, bruh. And it's going to be interesting to see what the hell they're doing with him at WrestleMania, if he's going to win those tag titles with The Miz. I'm interested to see, man. But next we had Jey Uso come out. Speaking of guys that are over, Jey Uso, man. Over as fuck. Jey Uso came out. And I think even before Jey Uso came out, by the way, they actually showed a photo of Rhea Ripley at UFC 299. That was shocking because Buddy Matthews was right there in the photo. I was shocked. Apparently people were saying online that they kind of ignored him on commentary. Jey Uso came out. He kept the promo short and sweet. And basically he challenged Jimmy Uso to a match at WrestleMania. So I'm sure Jimmy will accept it on Friday. We already knew it was going to happen. I'm interested to see how the match goes. We've had our fair share of sibling rivalries, twins like Nikki and Brie Bella. Ugh. Man, that was bad, right? I wish you died in the womb. Oh, God, that was terrible, man. We had Matt and Jeff Hardy, who the build was, I don't even know how to call that. You know, the whole thing with him killing his dog and setting his house on fire, running him off the road. Those are real things that Jeff was going through, actually, but they just interweaved in the story. And the match was solid, though. But man, that build was insane. We did have Brett versus Owen. That was great. Jay actually and Jimmy, they're not going to replicate that. But either way, we've had some good ones and we've had some bad ones. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do this brother versus brother feud. Moving on, though, let's talk about the gauntlet match. So the gauntlet match, it was Ricochet, JD, Big Bronson Reed. I can't believe they still call him that, but hey, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Chad Gable. Now, going into this match, I think everyone with common sense on their side knew that it was going to either be Sami Zayn or Chad Gable. Right? Ricochet has lost plenty of times to Gunther. Hell, he's the man Gunther beat for the title. JD McDonagh is a heel, and he never really wins anyway, right? Bronson Reed's a heel, and we've already seen that match. And in the case of Shinsuke Nakamura, let's be serious, he's not winning. So it was down to Sammy and Chad Gable. Those were the only two legitimate options to win this match. They have history with Gunther. They've been building up Sammy and Chad Gable over the last couple of weeks. And to nobody's surprise, it came down to those two at the end. But to start off the match, it was Ricochet and JD. And, you know, Ricochet ended up beating him. They had a pretty lengthy match, but it ended with Ricochet hitting the shooting star press off the top rope and JD lost, which is not shocking. JD always loses. Always loses. But then Bronson Reed came out. And Bronson Reed, man, I have to say this, you know, of course he can go in there and do these big man spots like he did with Ricochet. Ricochet was great at selling for him. Ricochet even did a dive over the top rope on him. They had a nice little back and forth. It didn't last too long, nor should it have lasted too long, because Ricochet already had a match and Bronson Reed's this monster wrestler that they're trying to push. But man, when he hit that tsunami, the fans are super into that tsunami. Like when he goes up to that top rope, you can just hear it building up and building up and building up. Then when he splashes, it's like a whoa. So that tsunami finish is over. It's over. I don't know if Bronson Reed is quite over like that. I mean, it's not like he comes out there to no reaction at all. He's not Shayna Baszler. But still, you know, that tsunami finish, it's more over than he is. And I like it. But yeah, he gets the win. And then we have Sami Zayn come out. Great reaction for Sami Zayn. He immediately just charges at Bronson Reed. They go at it. Bronson Reed tries the tsunami finish. It doesn't work. But fast forwarding, Sami actually gets like a roll up on Bronson Reed. And just like that, Bronson Reed's eliminated. I was shocked a little bit, because not that Sami pinned him, you know, and beat him, but I thought it'd be a little bit more decisive. But seeing what they did afterwards, I'm not shocked at all, because Bronson Reed attacked him, beat the shit out this dude. And then he tried the tsunami, got it. And this was while Shinsuke was on his way to the ring. So I was thinking, oh, maybe Shinsuke's just going to pin him, right? Because even though they've been beating the shit out of Shinsuke in every single match, he's in every single big match, he's always going to lose. Regardless, though, Shinsuke tried the Kinshasa. Sami rolled them up. I thought Sami was going to get the pin. I was like, damn, they're going to bury Shinsuke like that? That'd have been crazy. But still, you know, he kicked out. They battled on the outside for a little bit. Shinsuke threw him over to the announce table. But then fast forwarding, Sami hits the Huluva kick in the corner and he pins him. So much for Shinsuke and his little spooky anime-like promos. My goodness. Shinsuke, man, he is always going to lose. Just always going to lose. Man, there's just no point of building this guy up for anything. Lost to Cody a bunch of times, lost to Seth a bunch of times. Now he's losing to Sami Zayn after Sami got his ass beat by Bronson Reed. My God. But then Chad Gable comes out, and, you know, the crowd was really into it. Chad Gable started off, you know, he could have just attacked Sami Zayn because Sami was on the floor, you know, struggling to get up. But Chad Gable gets him up. He fires him up. He points at WrestleMania. He's like, dude, get yourself up, man. Let's go. This is the moment, right? He's trying to, you know, gas him up. Gas him up. Gas him up. And it works. Sami is fired up. And actually, real quick, I didn't even know this, right? I should have known, because it is Ramadan right now and Sami Zayn is Muslim. Apparently on commentary, they brought up that Sami Zayn has been fasting, right? So that fed into the story. And if I had known they said that, I probably would have known Sami was going to win. I would have known, but you know, I was in the crowd, so I didn't hear that. But yeah, they had a nice, really nice back and forth. Sami, you know, got put in the ankle lock a couple of times. He was selling the leg throughout the whole entire match after that. Sami got hit with one of those delayed suplexes that always look super nice on Chad Gable's end. Chad tried for the moonsault a couple of times. One time Sami got the knees up. Another time Sami, you know, just moved out the way and he went splat. Sami eventually hits the Huluva kick, right? But because the ankle has just been demolished with the ankle lock. Sammy just can't capitalize. He can't get to the cover, right? So he finally does get to the cover, and Gable kicks out, right? So this, the crowd is going crazy. The crowd loved this match. Eventually, though, I think even after Sammy hit the Huluva kick, Chad then hit a crucifix pin for a really good near fall, right? But, you know, fast forwarding to the end, Sammy gets a roll up on Chad Gable. And I kid you not, Chad Gable loses the match. He straight up loses. Now, for those who don't know, I'm a big advocate for Chad Gable. I love Chad Gable, right? I think Chad Gable is one of the most underrated and underutilized talents on that roster, straight up. And I thought that the feud that he had with Gunther last year had some of the best TV matches that we have seen in years, straight up. It was an amazing match. Not only did they have one match, I think they had like three, right? The first time Chad beat him, it was like by a count out. Then they actually had a rematch that same night right after. Gunther then beat him. Then they had a rematch where Gunther beat him in front of his kids. And I thought the story they were telling right after, where Gunther told them, "You're a bad father, you let your kids down," it was a great story. Because how did Chad respond? When Gunther said, "You got to go to the back of the line now. I've beaten you multiple times. Get out of here, bozo." What happened? Chad Gable says, "Hey, I swear to God, I am going to beat you. And I'm going to take that title from you. And I'm going to put that smile on my daughter's face where it belongs." But what made me mad is that after that, they didn't follow up. They didn't follow up. Obviously, because the plan was not to have him lose to Chad Gable or have them even revisit that match. Because we all know, right, if Brock Lesnar and the Vince McMahon thing didn't go on, Brock would be facing Gunther right now. So Gable was kind of screwed from the beginning. But when Brock Lesnar exited the picture, plans changed. And I hoped they would change for the better as far as Chad Gable is concerned. And over the last couple of weeks, Gable was picking up some wins. He was bringing back up the story about his daughter. He even confronted Gunther backstage. He said, "I didn't forget about what you did to my daughter and what you did to me." The story was perfect. All he had to do was win the match. And look, I don't hate Sami Zayn. I love Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn and Gunther had a match last year on TV that was great. One of the best matches on TV all of last year. So I don't hate the idea of Sami Zayn versus Gunther, right? But I just feel like the right story was Chad Gable versus Gunther. It was the perfect story, man. It was the perfect fucking story. And like, man, it hurt because I was so deflated. And there were a couple people in the crowd, you know, you could feel some deflation. Obviously, people cheered for Sammy. Nobody booed him. You know, people love Sami Zayn. They're not going to boo him. But man, you could feel a deflation, at least on my end. I was so deflated. I was so deflated because I just think that story with Chad Gable and Gunther, it's perfect. It's perfect. And to be fair, because I don't think Sami Zayn is going to beat Gunther at WrestleMania, maybe that's why. Maybe they don't want to do Chad Gable and Gunther until they're ready for Gunther to drop the title. But my thing is, why can't he drop it at WrestleMania? He's held the title for so long, and I'm not against him keeping it, right? Because he's doing a great job with it, having a great run, but he has outgrown that Intercontinental title. It's about time to put that World Heavyweight title on Gunther soon. I'm just saying. Hell, he should be the one facing Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, honestly. But they want to keep that title on Gunther. He couldn't work Elimination Chamber, so you don't just want him to lose it on a random night of Raw, I guess. They want it to be on a big stage, which makes me think there might be a chance for Sami Zayn to win. But considering that Gunther was going to face Brock anyways, I think it's safe to say Gunther is going to retain. Unless Brock was going to beat him, which I doubt. What the hell is Brock going to do with a mid-card title? Man, it really makes me wonder, what was the original plan for Gunther? right? Like, was he going to keep that title going into Mania and have a match for the Intercontinental title with Brock? That almost feels ridiculous, because what does Brock look like wrestling for a mid-card title? It almost feels beneath him, right? Or was Gunther supposed to drop it before then? Because if he was supposed to drop it before then, to who? To who? There's a lot of questions here. The Brock Lesnar stuff, the CM Punk injury, it ruined a lot of plans, obviously. But as far as Chad Gable's story, man, I was deflated. This was supposed to be his moment. But I will say, when I saw Sami Zayn running the gauntlet kind of as the Iron Man for a couple of matches before Chad Gable came out, I was like, man, it's going to kind of look tough if Chad Gable just beats this babyface here, right? It would have looked a lot better if Chad Gable came out at number one, or maybe he came out at the spot Sami Zayn came out and he willed himself to victory. So when I saw that going on, I was like, man, Sami's probably going to win this match. He's probably going to win. But I was still pulling out hope, because the match was super competitive at the end. They got me with a couple of those spots. I almost thought Sami Zayn was going to tap out. For real, I almost did. But he did it. He did it, and he picked up the win. Now, I will say, Chad Gable's shoulders were above the mat. They were above the mat. And there was a point where you could see the screenshot. His shoulder is like not even touching it at all. Or at least one of them. I think it's like the right shoulder. It's not even touching it at all. Now, do I think WWE will pick up on that and feed it into the story and maybe make it a triple threat match? Maybe. But I don't see that happening. I just don't. I think the only reason they did that was probably because they want to see what the crowd reaction could be to this situation, in case maybe they turned on Sami, but I don't think Chad Gable is Cody Rhodes, okay? They're not turning on him. So I think they did the finish the way they did it, just in case, so they could have an out to put Chad Gable in the match. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're going to put Chad Gable in the match. Hopefully they do. Hopefully they do. Because I really, really want to see Chad Gable get that IC title. He's never won a singles championship. Never. Sammy's had his moment with the IC title. I thought when he was talking about winning a championship, he was talking about the world title. He was saying, I want to be a world champion. Then all of a sudden that plan changed. I don't know what the fuck happened. Honestly, I don't know what the hell happened, but they dropped that story seemingly for now. And maybe it was the CM Punk injury. I don't know, but they threw Drew McIntyre back in there. I thought they were going to put Sammy in the Drew and Seth match, but they didn't. Now Sammy is going up against Gunther. But yeah, that was the episode of Monday Night Raw. I thought it was a solid show. I enjoyed it because, you know, I was there. A couple of those segments are really cool. And yeah, that's Monday Night Raw. You guys, make sure you drop a like, subscribe to the channel, and press that bell for post notifications. Also, leave me some nice reviews, nice ratings, all of that stuff on the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're live on all of them. You guys stay safe and have a blessed day. I'm out. Peace.